Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Rod Chalk.
Well, are you ready for the word today? Amen. Well, grab your Bibles with me and let's go right over to Mark chapter 4. And we're going to look at a familiar passage of scripture, but I'm going to look at it in a little bit different way. There are many ways, if you've noticed that sometimes in your Bible that there will be like a little phrase, or for example, mine says at the top of Mark 4, it says, the parable of the sower in there. Now, we realize that that's just something that somebody else decided that they were going to put like a category, shall we say, for this. The thing I'd like to do today, though, is that I would like to look at this parable just a little bit different. And instead of approaching it on the side of the parable of the sower, I'd like to approach it on the parable of the soil in there. And we know that right now this series that we're in is called Rooted. And I'm excited when we do these series. Are you? I really am. I'm excited to be able to focus myself. Do you know what the truth is that sometimes I can be like this and I need some focus. I don't know if you're like me. And so this really gives us a sense to be able to focus on the fact of being rooted. And why do we need to be rooted and grounded and rooted in God's word, rooted in relationships? We know that a little bit later on, I think Pastor Jay is going to be talking about rooted in love and many different things that are in here, but because there's so many places to go. But what I would like to do, instead of focusing on, I will talk a little bit today on roots, but I would like to focus on the soil. I would like to focus on the soil of our heart, or the soil, if you're looking for a title, the soil of our soul. Because all of us, you know, I find it funny sometimes when we think about parables, or we think about metaphoric, for example, I just said this, the soil of our soul. Well, we have to, when we look at parables even, there's a very specific thing that Jesus is trying to teach us in here. And sometimes we can go maybe a little bit too far in trying to figure out, well, does this mean this and does this mean that? Really, the parables are meant to be very specific. I won't use the word simple. I will use the word very specific. There's a few things we're supposed to basically get from them. But this particular one, this particular parable has four things that we really want to look at today. And I'm going to try to teach today. And you notice I am actually, maybe I shouldn't say I'm going to try. I'm going to teach today, okay, in there. And that just simply means, for those of you that don't know me, I can sometimes go all over the place. But here's a statement. I'm going to give you a few of them as we go that I want you to write down. Could you do that for me? Could you get out a piece of paper and a pen or your phone, whichever you need to do, and could you write down this particular phrase? Because I think that it's something to contemplate and something to think about in reference to, or in God, when you're thinking about the soil. And this is this: don't blame the ground if you're not working it. I think this is so very, very important. That we have to become, even for me right now, I'm realizing, Lord, what are you asking? There's a difference between works and work. I don't have a sense of a works mentality towards grace and towards the understanding of my relationship with God. But in my relationship with God, there are things that I work on. Do you understand me in this? And so this, my soil, is something that needs to be worked. And because I believe that we are going to see the production of, how do I say this? Do you want to bear fruit? Let me just put it that way. Do you want to bear fruit? Put up your hand. Show me. Don't just nod your head at me. I want to bear fruit. That's a declarative statement right now that we're saying, that I want to bear fruit. I want my life to make an impact, and I want to bear fruit. However, do you recognize that possibly, just possibly, there are certain things in your life that keep coming up? You know what I'm talking about? They just keep coming up. And what they do is they sometimes hold us back from producing the fruit that we should produce. And so when I look at this, my ground, okay, who God made me to be, okay, who I am in Christ is secure. But along that journey of finding out who that is, I have to be willing to work the soil of my life. I know that that's not a woohoo, okay, kind of a word in there. But listen, we have to be willing. There's this word that sometimes is seen as this. It's the word discipline. Come on now, seriously, in the body of Christ, it's this word that's discipline. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to wake us up just for a little bit here. I'm going to ask you to spell. Somebody like, whoa, I'm so excited I get to spell. Okay, say this with me. W-O-R-K. So here's what I'm going to do is every once in a while, I'm going to go like this. You're going to go, I'm ready to work. Okay, so we're going to try this. Ready? Okay, and this is because there's this mentality that we have to get away from sometimes is, I'm ready for somebody else to work for me, right? Or even, if you don't know me, you might think maybe that I would be a sense of, I'm disrespecting prayer in this. So please, if you do know me, you know that that would never happen. But there's sometimes this idea that we have, well, I need to find somebody else who can pray this off of me so this won't happen anymore. Okay, none of you do that. I'm sorry, I'll go on to the next page. What this is, what I'm trying to get at is there are times when we need help, right? There are times we need with someone else to come along and pray with us in agreement. But even at the end of that agreement, or even at the end of that, shall I say the word, empowering by God and by the Holy Spirit, we still have to step in and do something with it. It's something where we're given something. We're given empowering. Empowering is not just so you can sit down and emanate. Empowering is so that you can do something. And this is this journey that I want to take you on, and I hope you'll be able to grab this. I am looking for growth in my life this year. Are you? I tell you, what we need more and more and more in the world that we live in is someone who lives a life of stability. Come on now, when the storms come, look, I'm going to ask you to put up your hand to this, but has anybody ever experienced an actual storm? I'm not talking metaphorically, but a storm that shook your house. Put up your hand. We were in Florida, and I didn't understand what that meant until I moved to Florida. We went actually down to Florida, and we were in this little fourplex. And so this, in other words, there's four different units all attached together, okay, like a box, and we all had doors that went out separately. And they told me that this was not a hurricane, that there was a storm coming, and that we needed to prepare for it, okay, in there. And I'm like, it's a storm. I've seen storms. I've even heard of bad storms. Can't be that bad. And I can, when the roof begins to shake, and the walls begin to move, you're like, what was that? What was that? Go in the middle of a, where are we? If you don't know what to do in that moment, you could basically do the wrong thing. And so in those moments, we literally have to get into those doorways or get into bathrooms or whatever it would be. And I'm telling you, the experience of seeing the house shake, it was a little freaky. It really did. It unnerved me in this. If you've ever been in, some of you have maybe even been in tropical storms or you've been in these things. It's so important to know what to do, right? And it's something that for all of us, see, I believe that no matter the storm that comes, I want to be stable. Do you hear me? But stability comes when you think of a tree, stability comes with the depths of its roots. That's what makes a tree stable. Because these trees, in fact, the tree, listen, the tree will grow. The tree will grow in its height in there, and it will grow in its canopy. But if it doesn't grow deep down and begin to form roots that grab a hold of the earth, when a massive storm comes, what happens? You've seen them? What is amazing is you see them, they don't just sit there and decide to fall over. Or sometimes if they're older in the seed, see the tree can break off. But oftentimes it rips it right out of the ground. And you see this whole, like, you look in and you're like, wow, and this whole patch is missing in there. But in that moment, in that tree, when a storm comes in my life, I don't want to be uprooted. Come on now. And that storm comes in different fashions. Sometimes that storm comes if we have financial difficulties. Sometimes that storm comes simply with experiences that happen that are difficult and hard. But in being grounded and being rooted, you know, one of the beautiful other things, and I'm going to get to the soil right after this, but one of the other beautiful things about roots is, and I did not know this, but a root system if it can grow down deep enough, okay, in there, that it begins to tap in, not just to use, for example, the moisture that might fall or the rain that might fall around, but it will go down deep enough that even when it's arid, even when there's no rain, it will still be able to drink in the midst of the dry season because its roots grow down so deep. In fact, in the midst of, there's one particular tree that is in the in one of the monsoon countries in there, and what this tree does is it begins to grow. It's, see, most trees grow their leaves when it's the season that rain comes, but this particular tree has the ability to go down deep to tap into an unknown water source and actually grow leaves in the hottest time of the year, even before the rains come. I think that's something for us to hear and to listen to, that an expectation for growth, even in the midst of a difficult time. So don't put up your hand for this. Are you going through a difficult time? If you are going through a difficult time, here's my question. We can, or here's my, maybe my declaration. We can expect growth even in the most difficult times. Amen? And that only comes, though, when our roots go down deep. We know one of the other things about deep roots is that I didn't realize that the tree only uses the water that it takes. It only uses 10% of that water and gives back 90% of that water through its leaf system. So if you see it and you look at a tree and its value and what it does is from what it takes, it is constantly giving back. I want to be like that. I want to be like that. I want it to be that my life, yes, I need, and there are needs in my life, but that my life is built around giving back. But see, there are things I want to talk about this morning. If you just grab your Bibles, and we're going to go through a lot of scripture in here, and I'm going to stay right here so that I can walk through this with you. But Mark chapter 4, if you want to grab your Bibles, and we're going to start at verse 1, and I'm going to read through for a little bit, and then we'll just skip to another section. It says, and again, he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into the boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. And then he taught them many things by parables. And he said to them in his teachings, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside. So something to remember. And the birds of the air came and devoured it. And some fell on stony ground and where it did not have much earth and immediately sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up and increased and produced, and some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. Now, just go down a few verses until you get to verse 13. And this is where Jesus is starting to explain what this parable is and what it's all about. And so let me just read through these verses and then we will go through it. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? So verse 13, how then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These, likewise, are the ones sown on the stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now, verse 18. Now, these are the ones sown among thorny grounds. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. So I want to just for a little bit this morning to take you through, and if you're taking notes, I will give you the four different soils And all of it has to do with reception, okay? The ability to receive. And so even though this passage of scripture can be understood on the position of the sower, it can also become an understand is that if I want to receive God's word, if I want to receive what he's saying, I need to have receptive soil. And he begins to talk about the kinds of soil really that he's experienced along the way. The first one is this. If you're writing this down, the first one is the compacted or the hardened soil. In fact, they use this word, and you'll see it in there in that passage. You'll see it, it's called on the wayside. Now, in those days, in biblical days, in where Jesus is, that there was a lot of farmland, but the farmland was divided up into strips, long strips, that's where the fertile soil is. That's the soil that got worked. But in between these particular large strips of land were these things called the wayside. Really what that was, it was a pathway that people continually began to walk on. It was that not only the people began to walk on it, but that's where carts would be pulled. That's where animals would be taken in that way. So that ground was extremely hard and extremely impacted. And what that says is if you read through the parable, he's talking about the fact that some seed in the midst of it got scattered across this. And what does it say? It tells us that the ground could not even receive the seed in those moments. In fact, what it tells us is that the birds came by and had a snack, right? They came in and they ate all the seed. Have you ever been like that? Have you ever noticed? Sometimes there's just this thing that is just, it's God is doing something and he's speaking to you about something and all of a sudden it feels like it's been stolen from you. Like maybe not for you. And if you haven't had that experience, I pray you don't. But it seems like, you know, that's just awesome. And then it can get stolen in that moment. This kind of ground that I'm talking about, this is this hardened, compacted soil. Let me just read you this. There's this phrase, as we talked about, with wayside. But if I was to put it this way, this is what the wayside means. It's the ground that has been walked on. When we think about it even in ourselves, it's really talking about, Jesus is talking about life's difficulties and disappointments can cause hardness of heart in our lives. You know what? Don't put up your hand, but every single one of us has been through stuff, right? Come on now. We've been through stuff. There's been difficulties that have happened. And in the midst of these things, and whether it's just sometimes life happens and sometimes there's difficult situations, and there is no judgment in the middle of this. But after, listen, this is for a very specific, all of these soils in a sense represent a people. And sometimes I get represented amongst them all. And you might think, no, I only have the good soil. Unfortunately, there are areas of my life that is really good soil. And there are areas of my life that really I found out when I started to look that have all three the other areas in my life too. But this particular soil has been packed down. It's been walked on. And we look at this pushing down. So what do we do? How do we fix hardened soil? Or how do we, shall we say, prepare hardened soil ready to receive a word? I don't know about you, but I need to hear from God every day. You not like that? I need to hear from God every day. Whether that is in the Bible when I pick it up and I'm reading and so that it sinks inside of me. Because the truth is the word of God is what changes me. That the voice of God that I hear when he begins to speak, that changes me. But see, I've got to be soil that is ready to hear that word. And it's not just talking about the word of God in here. This is talking about his word, okay, in that. And that can come at different ways and can come from different people. But we just focused here for a little bit and look at all of these things. We see that life sometimes makes us a bit hard. I don't know if you've ever been there, but sometimes disappointments and things, you're going like, you know what? I just didn't think it would be like that. Here's the thing. Difficulties don't have to make us hard. Holding on to them is what hardens us. Every single one of us will go through difficult times. But it's when they become our language, when they become so part of us, that I'm going to only point all my fingers back here. that I begin to believe the lie that they're telling me. I begin to believe the lie that those difficult times are telling me. And then my heart becomes hard. Now here it is. I'm not very good at just trying not to say it, so there it is. Part of my life is prophetic. But when I know when my heart is hard, because the prophetic irritates me. Y'all don't look at me like it doesn't happen to you. Because when somebody comes along and everything ain't going well and something's happened, they're like, and I believe the Lord is going to do this and this and this and this. And this week that happened and that happened and that happened and that happened. And it was nothing like that word was. Come on now. If that happens over and over and over again, and instead of releasing that to God, if I let that become part of me, then when that word is given to me, it will not penetrate my hardened heart. So what do I do? And I begin to look up, for example, I learned a lot doing this. Went and looked at a video. I am not a gardener. Do not ask me to garden for you. Ask me to build you a garden, maybe, but don't ask me to garden for you in this. I learned a lot in the midst of this process, but there's what they call an earth cap or a crust cap, okay, that can come on hardened ground. And how you get rid of that, how you make that soil ready to prepare to receive seed is all depends on how hard and how deep that gap is. So if that crusty, if you'd see what you look at it, you know, hardened ground, if you look, and if it's just like, if it's fairly thin, then it's interesting that all it takes is a saturation of water. That's all it takes. You just saturate it with water, let it sit, it will soak in, and then you can stir it up a little bit and move on. But if the land is so hard, you can saturate it with as much water as you want, and all it will do is run off. Have you ever seen part of that? You know, you've seen a piece of land that's like that. And that particular land, this is what it requires. It requires... Right, so I am ready for... Right, it's what it requires. It requires work in the midst of this. And when you look at this hardened ground, this is what has to happen. You got to get down in there with a pitchfork or some kind of fork, and you have got to get right in there. You have got to break up all of that crusty ground. Because if you leave it, if you just come along and go, hang on, just a little bit of... Just rub it a little bit here like this. It doesn't do a thing. It requires for all those, listen to me, all those lies for us that we have believed to be rooted up and truly to be broken down. Then what you do in that moment, once it's broken all up, that's when you add the compost. That's when you add the soil that is alive already. Add to that making, and then you add the water. But here's this crazy thing that I saw somebody do online. I'm thinking, Lord, are you showing me that that is what you want to do to me? I'm thinking, that looks painful in there. Because this is what this one patch of ground, the construction workers that were coming and building this house, they kept driving over it and driving over it and driving over it. And then they brought heavy equipment over it and heavy equipment over it. This land, this particular, they wouldn't grow grass. It wouldn't do nothing. It was so hard. And the guy says, this is how you fix this. He brings out this tool that it's like, okay, that looks like a little bit of a saucer on the end with this great big, it's like a hose, but it's not a flexible hose. It's solid steel on the other end. And it's hooked up to an air compressor. And he comes in and he starts going, and the dirt is flying everywhere. Okay, and he's breaking it all up. And what he's doing is, and he explains what he's doing is he's forcing air into the ground. Because he says, unless the air is full of this ground, it's called aerating or aeration, unless it's full of the air in the ground, it cannot breathe and it cannot bring forth life. And I thought to myself, boy, in those times, Lord, don't I need an infusion of your Holy Spirit? And sometimes it's hard for me to hear what God has to say to me. And sometimes it's hard to hear those words. And sometimes when truth comes, you know what I'm talking about? It just smacks you right in the face. You're going, I'm not hard-hearted. What are you talking about? I'm a soft teddy bear. Yeah, that's why you were yelling a few minutes ago, right? You realize in the midst of this and you say, Holy Spirit, so here's the thing. It's a hard thing to pray, but you're saying, Holy Spirit, I need you to soften me. Holy Spirit, I need you to help me walk through this. So here is how, for me, I'll give you a few practical steps right now to write down on how you turn hard ground into ground that's ready to receive. Number one is this. In our own lives, you stop recalling bitterness and the bitter difficulties. You stop talking about them. Do you know that's your hardest thing? The rest of this is not difficult in there. This is extremely hard. If you've ever had, and I'm not talking about the fact that you have life situations that happen and you need someone to share it with. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, you know the difference. I know the difference. When bitterness is speaking out of my mouth, do you know what I'm talking about? And when simply you're able to share something that God has doing or something that you're going through and something you don't understand. Do you understand me in the sense of the difference? But when you are rehearsing it, when it becomes like a monument, when it becomes something that is over and over and over again coming out of your mouth, it's time to get healing. Amen? It's time to get God to begin to do some restoration within our lives. And so that's the first thing really we need to do. But the second one is this. When I look at this, when I think about all that he is going to do in my life, I think about the fact that you know what, I need to move on into this. And the second part will come up in a minute again. It kind of goes, the hardened ground goes with the stony ground. So the next passage of scripture really in there is talking about stony ground. So we looked a little bit about hardening ground. And hardening ground, what it takes is it takes the fact of the ability to be able to break up the soil. It takes the fact of beginning to speak the word of God into my life. It takes the fact to have the Holy Spirit to begin to speak to me, to begin to hear the voice of God. It takes a saturation. How many of you need to be saturated by the Holy Spirit right now? I am telling you, I am on my knees a lot lately crying out to God, Lord, we need a saturation like never before. We need a pouring out like never before in the midst of it. I am saying, Lord, help me though to get my hard heart, the ground ready to receive your saturation. The second part of the ground that we see in there is the stony ground. And I'm always amazed that, are there any farmers in the house? What time is it anyways? Any farmers in the house here? Put up your hand. Just let me show you. I don't need to see any farmers in the house. So we don't. We have one maybe in there. So I was the absolute opposite of farmer. When I met Karen's mom and dad, who were farmers, believe it or not, one of the things I decided to wear when I was getting to know them was a pink cardigan. It was the 80s, by the way, okay, in there. We wore grays and pinks and whites, and I literally had a pink cardigan with white and gray in it. I thought I was the coolest thing you'd ever seen, ever. My father-in-law, not so much. He was wondering who was coming into his daughter's life. But as I got to know them, this is what they decided to do. They were like, well, everybody in the family, they had a small farm, so everybody in the family helps. We're all going rock picking. And I'm like, I don't need any rocks, thank you. Why are we picking rocks? Don't you have enough rocks around the driveway? Why are we going and picking rocks? No, it's going to be planting season. We have to go out and we have to pick rocks. And so the whole family, like literally the little kids, everybody is out there. And of course, one person is pulling the tractor and we're going in the ground and we're picking up the rocks. And I'm looking at the ground going, I never knew there was so many rocks in this ground. How is this possible? And we're pulling out, and all of a sudden, you see one where you start wiping it away, and it goes from being what you thought was just this little tiny rock to like, oh my, and everybody needs to help, and we're going to pick this boulder up, and we put it up. And I thought, again, I don't know nothing. I'm born, around the city. I think the next year, when they say, it's time to go rock picking, I'm like, we did that. What do you mean? We picked the rocks last time. You see the big pile over there. That's what, no. Every year, you gotta go out and pick the rock. And I was like, where did this rock come from? Who snuck in to the farm and stuck this rock in the middle of the field? Come on. We need to get security cameras. We need to figure out what's going on. Someone's dumping their rocks. Because all of a sudden, there were these rocks. And I came to an understanding this city boy that this is a regular occurrence and that you have to go and you're willing to go and get rid of the rocks in there. For me, when I think about this, the simplicity of the stony ground is this, is that it's simple here. The rocks are taking up the space where the soil needs to be. And we need to get rid of these rocks. I love this verse in Acts chapter 24 and verse 16, and it says this. And herein, now this is a really crazy verse in here that I'd not seen this before. Maybe you have, but it's in the King James Version. I'm going to read it this way in there. But, and there, herein do I exercise myself. Now that word means to discipline and to be ready for work, right? Okay, so to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. And you know, when I read this verse quite a while ago now, but when I read the verse and I realized I can have an offense toward God, and I'm thinking, am I allowed to have an offense toward God? How can I have an offense toward God? I love God. And as I began to realize that this was some of the stones that were in my life, because I began to believe the lie that the things that had happened, that he caused them to happen, and that he was, this may shock you, but that it felt a little heartless when those things happened. And I had to go through a process of finding out the truth in the midst of it, because it wasn't about forgiving God. It was about understanding who he is and his heart for me in the midst of difficult times. If you're a Christian in this house and you have been told that once you become a Christian, everything's going to be honky-dory. Somebody lied to you. Yes. But in the midst of this, we have a God that will never, ever leave you. You're not on your own. See, to me, offense will cause you, and this is what we look at when we think of the stony ground, we think of the offenses that are in our lives. Offenses will cause you to have a shallow root system, unable to endure persecution, or even able to endure hardship. But offense really isn't an issue when we begin to release it unto the Lord. I look at this. I love this scripture about good soil. If you want to write down this scripture, Jeremiah 12 and 2, and it says, you have planted them. Who did it? God. You have planted them, and they have taken root. They grow, and they bear fruit. But here's the thing. But if the soil of our heart is so stony, filled with offenses, we will try and try and try and try and try to move forward, but we will find that our root system just can't seem to go deep. And it's something that for all of us, it's like walking through. So Lord, how do I get rid of offenses? How do I do this? How do I work in it? And why is Pastor Rod talking about this in relation to the soil? Because the seed that God has for me over this next season, the word that he's told me that he's going to speak over my life, the things that I'm going to begin to hear and receive, I want my soul to be ready. I want my spirit to be ready. I want my soil of my life to be ready to receive that seed. And I don't want anything else taking up the place that God wants to fill. Come on, are you with me? And so in this, let me give you let me give you some things that how we begin the journey of removing the rock of offense. First thing I will tell you is that this is, again, it's the same thing I said before, but we have to in some ways stop rehearsing the offense or stop recalling the offense continuously. Now listen to me, and you need to hear me clearly. If you're going through something, we need to find somebody that we can talk to, that we can share with, that we can get. But I'm not talking about the fact of every single person we meet. And have you ever, I think I've been at this time in my life, at different times in my life, maybe I have been this to someone, that when you meet them, the bitterness flows out of them. Have you ever had that? The idea in this is we have to make our lips, look, if we got to do this, Maybe we need to do that for a season in there. Because here's the thing. When we recall that, we make a monument of what's happened instead of what God's about to do. We make a monument of the offense. We make a stone that's so big instead of begin to focus on what God is about to do. Here, I'm going to give you these particular other things right now. Let me just back up here for a second. So how do I remove the stone of offense? Number one, stop recalling it continually. Focus on what God is doing in your life. Secondly is this. You know, I feel, Pastor Jay, sometimes like a broken record that I've asked the Lord many times, can I preach something different? But there really isn't much different about this. Because the only way to move beyond offense is to forgive. That's all I have for you. You know, I feel like drop the mic and be done. Forgiveness. Colossians 3 and 13 says, bearing with one another. Only when they're happy and only when everything is going well and when they're absolutely terrific to be around. No, it doesn't say that. It says bearing with one another. And if you have a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord forgave you, so you also must forgive. Ephesians 4, 31 to 32 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind to one another. And that word, tender-hearted, which goes back to plowing up the hardened ground. Forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. I love that phrase, though, tender-hearted. It's talking about the fact of someone who has been willing to be cultivated. Who has been willing to say, yes, Lord, sift my heart, see what this is. When I think of forgiveness, I think Jesus is our perfect example. Forgiveness in Luke chapter 23, verse 34, and as he hung on the cross, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He didn't say, Father, forgive them, because they were down at the bottom of the cross here a minute ago, and they asked me for forgiveness. I recognize that they've changed, so I'm going to give them forgiveness. No, he extended forgiveness before there was even a recognition of the need of it. That's the thing with me. If we live, and I'm not telling you this is easy. I am telling you it's simple in the sense that this is what we need to do. But I'm not saying that it's easy, but it's essential that we learn to forgive and to forgive quickly. You know, that those are the things. And then the third thing, if you look at what helps us to move away from the stony ground is this, is to begin to live a lifestyle of repentance. And you say, what does repentance have to do with it? See, if I'm holding offense, I have to start with myself and ask the Lord to forgive me for holding offense. And you say, well, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know what they said about me. You don't know what's going on. Pastor Rod, if you only knew, you would be on my side. Come on now. Sometimes that's the way we think. But in the midst of this, it's this sense of going, Lord, forgive me, for my mouth has sinned, and I have spoken against a brother or a sister. And I have allowed this offense to creep into my heart and become a rock that is separating me from you. Lord, forgive me. And then this beautiful verse in Acts chapter 3, verse 19 comes into place. You all know it, but repent, therefore, and then turn to God so that your sins would be wiped out, that times of refreshing would come from the Lord. This is this other verse in Psalms 80, verse 7 to 9 says this, restore us, God Almighty. Make your face shine on us that we may be saved. You transported a vine from Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. And then this phrase, and you cleared the ground for it. And it took root and it filled the land. Our soul, our soil requires the clearing of the ground. I'm going to try to go quickly here through this last one on this side of the picture. But the thorny ground is another one that's there, right? We see it. That the scripture talks about this. And the thorny ground in Mark chapter 4, verse 1 to 9 speaks of three different things. It speaks of the cares of this world. Nobody's got any cares? Looking at me for a second here. Anybody got any cares? I'm trying to keep everybody awake just for a second. You got some? The cares of this world is what it's talking about in this. The deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things. That is what it's talking about when he refers to the thorny ground. The problem here is not that you have cares of this world, or the problem is not that you have wealth, or even have dreams. The problem is when the cares of this world have you. And when the process becomes that every thought is about creating wealth, for example, every single thought, and it's not about anything else but that, that is what is referring to. When we look at this scripture, I want to show you how, forgive me if this sounds like something that I'm talking about, this being simple, but it's simple to me in the sense that when I look at Matthew chapter 6 and 33, look for me here, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I'll just wrap this up in a few minutes, but stress does terrible things to us, doesn't it? Does unbelievable things to the body. It begins to wreak havoc upon us. The cares of this world, the things that we're going through, if we're not careful, it's not wrong to have cares of this world. It's just all about releasing them. Matthew 11, 28 to 30 says this, "Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find," what? "Rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." It's not wrong, hear my heart in this, to have these burdens. It's when we have the worry that comes with it as a lifestyle. I am not getting up here and preaching at you. And so if you feel that way, please cast it aside. My fingers are pointing back at me. That sometimes that the cares of this world begin to be all that I can focus on, all that I can see, and I forget the God of the universe. And you might be shocked by that. But sometimes those cares of this world are so strong, whether it's your mom being sick or whether it's for Karen, her mom being sick, and the both of us are working through these things and other things that come along that in life. But here is my suggestion to you. You have a God that loves you so infinitely, and he will take these and help you walk with and through them. He will be with you. You know, the second part in that verse talking about the deceitfulness of riches. It's not talking about it's wrong to have money. That's ridiculous. Listen to what 1 Timothy talks about. Shows us the path here, 6 and 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. That is what we're talking about. And what I mean by that is this. A friend of mine has his ministry. In fact, he called the whole church around this now. Is talking about love God and lift others up. It's simple. That's what they do. Everywhere they go, they teach people to love God and to lift other people up. They're really trying to walk this way. And in this, they put the kingdom first all the time. Do you know that money changes things? It does. It's awesome. And that wasn't a bad statement. If your mind thought it was a bad statement, then we need to get some healing. But listen, money changes things. Money is able to change and transform situations. So money is not evil. In fact, the kingdom needs more money. Now, you might say, no, we have a God of the universe. It's all good. Yes, the God of the universe expects us to ask and expects us to receive so that we can be a blessing to others around us. Amen? And that is the way we need to live in this. But when I think about this, I think about not allowing the worries and the cares of finances to come in and creep out and basically choke out my joy. The last thing is the desires of the heart, the desires of the thing. Do you know that you were built and designed to carry the presence of God? You. Point to someone, say you. I'm wrapping it up now. I'm sort of trying to. You were ready. You were built and designed to hold the presence of God. In fact, there's a hole inside of you that only God can fill. And all of these other things, as the scripture talks about, they will not bring what you desire. They will not begin to transform us. But here's the thing. When we allow God to to come in and break up the hardened hearts of the situations we've been going through, when we allow God to come in and help us to remove the stones, when we're willing to do the work that it takes to do this, when we're willing to sit there and say, Lord, I cast my burdens and my cares upon you. I will not allow this situation to be like a thorn that begins to come up and choke out my joy that is found in you. That, Lord, I want to be good soil. Lastly here, this is what good soil has. Good soil has the ability to sustain life. Good soil produces roots, shoots, and fruit. It produces life. Good soil is the sanctuary for the seed. And truly, any garden worth having is a garden worth weeding. There is things in our lives when I think about this last verse, and I want to give you, stand with me here. If we could have someone come back to the piano just for a second. This verse. It's funny, the context of this verse, where the verse is found, is a little bit different, but it still means the same thing in there. Ezekiel chapter 17, verse 8 says this: it was planted in good soil by many waters, and then this is what happened. It brought forth branches. It bore fruit, and it became a majestic vine. When I think of that word majestic vine, I put in there, it became a mighty one. See, it became something that others could come then and find shade from the branches that they had. It becomes the one that can come by and it can grab fruit from others. That its root system is so strong that it realizes that in this season, I believe that all of us want to grow. If you're like me, I want to grow. I want to become more like him. So just close your eyes with me just for a second. Just you and God. So Lord, I pray over them this week that in the quietness with you, like you did with me, you're preparing us for revival. You're preparing us to step out, and even as we are about to do Alpha, that you're preparing us to move beyond even our looking only to ourselves, but to find somebody to bring, somebody to show your love to, somebody to show how amazing you are. But in the midst of this, God, I want to be one that's healed. I want to be one that's restored. I want to be one that when a kingdom word is given, that I receive that word in a soil, in a soul that's ready. So God, I give you permission this week into my life, and you here today have to do this on your own. But I give you permission to, Lord, show me where some of my ground has become hard. And I may have to reach out to somebody else and go, would you help me to find healing in the midst of this? But it's to go to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. That there have been some stones that I've found in the midst of this. Some offenses that I've got. And I don't want to be uprooted in the midst of a storm. Because the stony ground, the one that has the most offense in we're talking about, is the one where the roots can't really grow deep enough. It grows, but only so far, and then it's uprooted and cast away. I don't want to be like that, Lord. I want to have longevity with you, God. And so, Lord, I ask you that if there's any stones in my life, any offenses in my life, show them to me, that I would be able to deal with them. And Lord, if there's some cares in this of this world that right now, Holy Spirit, you want to show me that I'm worrying about instead of releasing, right now, at this second, would you show me, Holy Spirit?
So first of all, I begin and I say, Lord, forgive me for worrying about this. I bring to you this burden because with you on my side, with you with me, I have nothing to be afraid of. And although this may be true, there may be a fact about it that, Lord, I believed a lie. I believed a lie from this experience. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me for that lie. And I ask you now to help me to remove these worries and these thorns that are trying to come up and choke out my joy. And I expect an infusion of your joy. I expect an infusion of your grace. I expect seed now to begin to fall upon our lives, the word of God to begin to come alive inside of us, and that we begin to grow and grow and grow and grow. So here I am, Lord, this week. Do an amazing work in me that you will create in all of us this majestic vine. We don't think all that of ourselves. But Lord, we need to be mighty ones, to be strong ones in you, so that we can make an impact on our world around us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.